Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on today's podcast.
Gluten-free communicating.
Can we go back to me and my ripcord?
Your voice matters, Penn.
Am I right more than I think I'm right?
And here's where work Kim wants to pull her hair out.
You do want me to get in a fight with you. This is interesting.
He made it in his head, but it didn't come out of his face.
Okay, that's not true.
I mean, blaming your spouse for being who they are is a complete waste of time.
I licked my thumb and then wiped it all over his top lip.
The only two people I'll allow to do that are my wife and Max. And here it is, the Holderness Family Podcast.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. We are usually weird Facebook YouTubers.
Yes, we dance around like idiots.
And that's okay to use the word idiot in that sense when you are displaying the behavior consistent with an idiot.
So those are short little videos. We love to make you laugh. It's actually like my favorite thing on the planet when a video has made you laugh. This is a podcast. We hope we make you laugh, but also we want to make you think a little bit.
Yeah, think of it as a New Year's resolution that goes on forever. It sounds terrible, right? But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be better people. And we bring in other people to help us be better people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people just for you guys.
And so today, our most frequent visitor is coming to talk to us about metacommunicating.
So Christopher Edmondson, he is an expert in marriage care, let's call it. And he's a dear friend of ours. We're actually in the process of trying to write a book about how to solve those most frequent couple arguments and how to start those discussions. By no means are we experts, because there are a lot of things we do wrong. But I think in that, I hope that it's helpful for you guys.
In the spirit of over-communicating, that's not the wrong term. What's the term we're going to use for this?
Meta-communicating or...
Feels like anytime you put meta in front of a term, it makes it cooler. And maybe you don't even have to understand it.
Just
you can,
like,
just say meta before it and everyone...
Gluten-free.
Exactly.
Gluten-free communicating.
Right. So... In the spirit of gluten-free communicating, can I just give props to my daughter for the way she communicated with us this morning?
Okay.
So Kim is going out of town, and Lola is going to something called a lockout.
With
her church. And a lockout means that you get locked out. You go to all these places. Like, you go to Putt-Putt, you go watch movies.
And overnight.
And and I don't think you sleep. Like, what church does this to their flock?
Let's jack you up in a lot of Starburst,
yeah.
Put you in a go-kart,
yeah.
And then hope for the best.
Right.
Hopes and prayers.
It's Christopher's church, so we're going to approach him about this, because what are they doing? But so here's what Lola said right before she didn't see Mom for the rest of the weekend. She goes, Mommy, I'm going to eat it. What exactly did she say?
I'm like, okay, well, have fun at the lockout. She's like, I'm going to eat a ton of sugar. I'm not going to sleep. It's going to be a disaster. I can't wait.
I think she said specifically, I'm going to be a disaster tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, baby.
Just calling her shot that she's going to be a terrible person tomorrow, which isn't that what happens after any sleepover?
Sleepovers are terrible.
Yeah, they sound like a good idea.
Hi, Max. Sorry.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Like, Max, how, like, when your daughters do sleepovers, like, what, how do they, how tired are they the next day?
It's a disaster, and you want, you have to get the next day going.
No, no. We actually, our daughter does not love a sleepover, really. She doesn't like to go to other people's houses. That, I mean, there's a couple people, she just doesn't like it, and because she needs to sleep.
Can I tell you, talking about communication, just because this is apropos,
yeah.
This is a direct quote from my almost nine-year-old daughter to my wife yesterday, who, she's been having some stress at school.
Oh.
I'm just a female third grader trying to navigate relationships, what? And it feels like a bunch of bricks resting on my chest.
What?
That's what she said.
Oh, bless.
Wait, that's...
And who is giving her trouble?
Did someone else text that for her, or is she really that poetic? That's amazing.
She spoke that to my wife, of which then my wife copied it and posted it on Facebook saying, this is what my daughter said.
It is really... female friendships, male friendships, but I think female friendships can be very tough to navigate at times. And third grade was the thing for Lola. Like, she had some very good friends that became not good friends, and she was not included in that group anymore. And it's devastating when that's like your whole world. And bless, we had a teacher that basically said to me, I got this. And she like redirected, she gave Lola this confidence, and it changed everything, because we had some third grade, we had some dark moments there.
One of the girls that was probably contributing to the stress that my daughter was feeling wrote her a note, an apology that she received yesterday morning, and now the air is all clear. And talk about communication. That's a new one, because there's no way some dude and I would have written each other notes back when we were in eight years old to apologize for our actions.
We just kind of say, good? Yeah, good.
And then you guys get over it. Whereas if grudge holding was an Olympic sport, I would no doubt represent our country. I would bring home a gold. I can hold a grudge forever.
Yeah, and without getting too stereotypical about genders, I do want to ask Christopher about when it comes to communicating the different types of ways that males communicate and females communicate. It seems like, as you just said, a lot of times when females communicate, particularly in the grade school level, it gets catty a little bit more quickly. And is that because people aren't talking enough to each other, or they're talking too much about each other to other people? Like, what is it?
I don't know. Christopher's here. Let's ask him.
Oh, my gosh.
Ding dong.
Hey.
Christopher's here. So I love it. When you're not here, Christopher, we kind of go off the rails. We talked about we shunned your church for...
There's a lockout happening.
This lockout thing that keeps our kids up all night. It makes them eat sugar. I don't know where Jesus fits in with all this, Christopher. He's going to tell us it's fellowship.
God and Jesus like fun.
So Lola said to us, I'll repeat, and for the people listening on this podcast, sorry. She goes, I said, have fun at the lockout. And she goes, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to have so much sugar. I'm going to be a disaster. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, they do come home hungover. I mean, my kids are a little older than yours, so I've got about 6 years of this. And it is a sugar hangover. It definitely is.
Kim is conveniently out of town tomorrow.
I know. I'm like, good luck with that.
That's right. She's bugging out.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
Bye.
That's so funny.
Anyway, we're talking about hyper-communicating, meta-communicating. We're calling it gluten-free communicating because
it seems
it's so
like meta. Also, meta is such a buzzword. It's so meta.
I know. I want to just be like on trend with this search engine. So I'm calling it gluten-free.
I'm going to put both of you on the spot. What the hell does meta mean? What? Yeah. Go ahead.
Meta. Meta means a lot of different things.
But right. Saying, what do you do? I'm a consultant.
This is so meta. I'm a consultant. I'm a meta consultant. Meta means a lot of different things depending on the field in which you're referencing it to. But for me, the way that I use it when I talk about meta communicating is that sort of communication that transcends, that overarches, that cuts through all the ways that human beings communicate. So it's meta. It goes through how we talk, how we process, how we argue, how we don't argue. Meta. That makes any sense at all.
And Google also says that meta is referring to itself or to the conventions of its genre, self-referential.
Self-referential. So
meta, the definition of meta is meta?
The definition of meta is meta. But, so meta. But in this case, when I talk about transcendent communication being meta communication, if I had to put it into one phrase, it is communicating about how and why we communicate.
We will get right back to this conversation, but can I just say, like, I've had a little bit of a stressful week. And this is sort of my audio version of Xanax. Am I allowed to say
that? You take it through your ear holes.
It's this band, and we've actually seen them in concert when they came to Raleigh, and we were thrilled that they asked to be a sponsor of our podcast. They're called Mandolin Orange, and they are my Xanax.
Yeah, so many of you guys have been tagging us on Instagram saying thanks for the recommendation. You guys have to check out Mandolin Orange. They have a new album out. They have a new single. It's available for download. The full album is on Amazon. The new single is called The Wolves from the new album Tides of a Teardrop. Can we play a little of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you listening now?
Yeah,
it's NPR happening. Calls the band a slow-burning, steadily rising folk duo. They have angelic voices.
Yeah, that's a good description. I don't listen to a ton of folk music, but there's something sort of transformative about this, and their voices are just awesome.
You can pre-order right now, but Friday, February 1st, the new album is being released from Yep Rock Records, Tides of a Teardrop. Go to Amazon.com, pre-order, or if you're listening to this after February 1st, just go and order the new album, Tides of a Teardrop, from Mandolin Orange.
And we'll listen to it, and then in just a second, we'll get back to the crazy stuff. But just for now, just chill.
And so I have to say, Penn and I do not have a perfect marriage at all, but we do have the ability to talk about how we fight. If we do get in an argument, the next day we have, like, we're like, okay, I really thank you for, you know, for continuing the conversation, but also, like, not cool how we did this. Maybe next time let's, you know.
Whether you knew it or not, you were meta communicating.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet. And I think if every couple even tried this, their ability to communicate, resolve conflict, share love languages, share sizzle,
yeah,
whatever it is that they need to do would actually improve.
Here is where the gender stereotypes, and I hate to reinforce them, but I think there's a stereotype that women like just want to talk about everything, and I want to talk about how we talk about things, and I can feel my husband rolling his eyes when we start doing that. And again, that's a gender stereotype.
Yeah, but we fall onto party lines for this one. I don't think we fit under a lot of gender stereotypes, but this one, you're right. I mean, well, I definitely don't want to walk away from a fight without talking through it. That's just something that I believe in. I'd like to resolve things as soon as possible.
You like to wrap it up.
Yes, I do like to wrap it up. I also don't need to talk about, like, everything.
Every part of it.
Right.
I would like to...
She wants to talk about everything.
Well, let me just talk about, like, the baggage that we bring. So my parents... Awesome people, awesome parents. They were terrible married to each other. So they were married for 27 years. And they had like 5 different marriage counselors. They really super duper tried, but they got divorced. And I think that part of that pattern that they had, which is like fight, fight, fight. And then one of them would storm out. One of them occasionally would move out. You know what I mean? So there's like this leave kind of instinct. So I am programmed. And if we get into a fight, I am programmed to just, I need to clear my head. I need to walk away. I need to get in the car and take a drive. Like, I am programmed to leave. So I have to fight that. Like, every single argument we get into, my instinct is to not talk about it.
In a couple of situations, we've been saying something and Kim has said, let me out of the car.
I stop the car and I walk home.
So, like,
no. Yeah.
It's just a couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
Kim, no.
But
I just needed to, like, I'm going to say something terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret unless you. And I literally, he didn't even stop the car. It was just slow and I, like, tuck and rolled and I just got out of there.
Okay. That's not true.
If that ever happens, I want slow mo video of her diving,
just throwing
her
out of the car. Exactly. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know, but then we would, like, communicate about how we communicate. I know, like, you can't do that. Like, where am I going to go? Like, that's not a great lesson to teach my kids.
Well, you have baggage and I have baggage too. Should I go ahead and chuck mine out there and then we'll talk about it together?
Let's unpack our luggage and compare.
I have parents that are still married and happen to be adorable together with all of their foibles. Is that the wrong term?
No, but it's just
it works for me.
Can you look up foibles?
It's a little quaint. It's a little quaint.
Yeah, it's.
Which is another strange word.
No,
we used it in. It's in the opening song of Pippin. Wow. We got foibles and fables to portray.
We've got magic to do.
Yeah,
that's it. Pippin.
A dictionary says
that's
that
digging deep.
Foibles are a minor weakness or eccentricity in someone's character.
I think that was a perfect word for that, wasn't it?
It kind of was.
Absolutely. Okay, good. They've got foibles. Say that 10 times in a row. Foibles, 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 foibles.
Right now, Karen is on the treadmill listening to this podcast going, foibles,
foibles, foibles, foibles, foibles, foibles, foibles, foibles, foibles, foibles. Look, they've got foibles. Now, I can't think of anything else. It's stuck in my head. But the way that they communicated was through a lot of passive aggression. And particularly...
I'm super good at that, too.
Well, you sure are, honey.
Well, getting out of the car is actually a form of being passive.
Sure.
No, I know.
Like you have put up a wall and you said you're done. And I think that in any conflict, if one of you, one person in a couple, a relationship, if you are the person between the two people in this thing that people have created that simply can't engage in a fair way, right? Not you're going to be angry sometimes. I'm talking about fair, right? In a fair way that is addressing the issue. Taking a break can be okay as long as you do then later re-engage it. We've talked about this before. It is extremely crucial because the problem didn't go away because you got out of the car and walked the last 200 yards away from home.
Right.
Nor in the foibling passive-aggressive thing did the problem go away because dad or mom just went upstairs or downstairs and started on a new project and pretended like nothing ever happened.
And maybe I'm using the wrong term for passive-aggressive. The argument was – is there a difference between that and sarcasm? You know, just sort of being like, you know what? Great. Fine. Whatever you want.
Well, sarcasm is a lot of things, but one of our uses is passive aggressive.
Okay.
Like, I'm fine. You're fine. We're fine. And really nobody's fine.
That was good. That's kind of
like when I'm doing when the kids are watching like TV after dinner and I'm doing the dishes by myself, I'm like, don't worry about it, guys. I got this. You just rest. I just cooked the dinner and but I'll clean it up too. But don't worry.
Honey, if you'll just, like, as soon as we're done watching this, I promise I'll do the dishes. I will do the dishes. And then, no, I've got it.
You know, if there is like a break of gender stereotypes, I'm almost feeling way more on Kim's side all day today, this because I am the over communicator and I am very passive aggressive with the
with your tactics.
Yeah. That's Max Trujillo, by the way, our producer. Yeah. Say hi, Max.
But hold on. So back to like communicating about how you communicate. So when do you do that in the fight cycle? Like if there's a fight cycle, let's call it.
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's not just when you fight. You can do it about great dates or things that were lovely or things that you really appreciated too. But when you do it in the fight cycle is when you both calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the two people in the couple have to calm down or else nothing will happen. You're at a place where you're not shouting, where you're probably not standing up, where there's quiet. You probably have coffee. You probably have tea. You're probably in the kitchen doing some tasks together. And one of you brings it up when it's safe, when all that energy is gone and simply says, not only did I like the fact that we spent so much time arguing last night, I don't like how we argued. Why did we get so mean? Because it really wasn't a personal issue.
Mm-hmm.
We just got really personal about something that was pretty trivial. Why did that happen? And what it does is it gives you a chance to talk about, well, I'm tired. I'm stressed at work. The kids have just been on my nerves lately. Because typically we're safe around the people, right, that we work with. We don't go to work and start lobbing bombs at people. Mm-hmm. We're safe around our kids' teachers. We try to be safe around our children unless they really get under our skin. What happens is all that negative energy, that negative stress, that negative emotion builds up. And when one thing gets under our skin that our spouse does because they're our safe person, it's like wham.
Yeah.
And suddenly we've argued about something that really wasn't worth arguing about. And meta communication is when you address that and say, let's try to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
How often do people do that correctly?
I don't know. I mean, I, when couples come to see me, not well at first, because right. if they've taken the time to come see me, I mean, most people don't come see me when things are great. So by the time they get to me, everything feels personal. So most couples, I think, probably struggle with doing it well and efficiently.
So let's talk. It doesn't always have to be a postmortem on how we fought.
No.
It could be about a great date or other things that happened.
Correct.
And or just like a Tuesday, you can lob out a compliment.
Like right. So one of the things that I work with premarital counseling, couples who are about to get married, and sometimes with couples who've been married a while, is what I call easy buttons. Do you remember that Staples commercial
mm-hmm.
where they hit the easy button and things got better?
Yes.
Right? So easy buttons. And meta communication is the ultimate easy button. And maybe the best way to get into it is by what I call the follow-up question. So let's do a scenario.
Yeah, yeah, I love these. Scenarios
Ken
are my favorite.
Loves
yes.
to,
like Mitch
yeah.
and Susan. Were
yeah.
we Mitch
I feel
and
like
Susan
my
last time?
Main job in this podcast is to occasionally just throw out hypotheticals.
And play parts.
And play parts, yeah.
And play parts.
And I get to do voices. So yeah. who, like,
is
like,
Dr.
Who
are... Phil here?
Well, Dr. Phil. Max, the problem is you've been divorced 8 times.
Max has not been divorced 8 times. Sorry.
I have an uncle who's on his 5th marriage. Anyway, but it's going great, and we love her. No, she's doing great.
Well, good for your uncle.
Yeah.
So Mitch and Susan have a date night.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
And the next morning, Susan says something like, "Mitch, I had a really good time last night."
Mitch, I had a great time last night.
All right. And what is Mitch thinking?
Are you referring to something sexual?
I mean, is Susan talking about the movie we saw?
Yeah.
The dinner we
what?
Had?
Be
the
more
sizzle
specific.
When
yeah.
we got home?
Yeah. Sizzle. Yeah.
Could you be more specific?
So, Mitch, no. What was your favorite part?
Oh, better.
What
better.
Was your
okay,
favorite
start
part?
Over, start over.
Okay. Hey, Mitch, I had a great time last night.
What was your favorite part?
And Mitch just hit the easy button. Now, you can answer if you want to, Susan.
Okay, well, this is a family podcast, and we've heard that from a lot of people that a lot of families listen together. So I would say the risotto.
The risotto. is by asking Susan, by asking your partner, and this can go both ways, right? We could have done it with the female in the yeah. scenario leading. But by asking your partner, what was your favorite part? You're hitting an easy button. And maybe the answer is the risotto. Maybe
uh-huh.
it's, I liked holding your hand while we watched the movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you're learning.
Right. You're learning.
Learning things to do
okay.
later. Reinforce good
and
habits
so,
to repeat.
And so if I said, I actually loved... You know, when we were walking to the restaurant, we were holding hands, and that was just like a really sweet moment.
That's amazing, considering you don't like holding hands with me because my hands get sweaty.
That is not
that. Well, sometimes
so
it
now
does.
He just yeah. no.
Okay.
That's not
no, I'm
true.
Trying to be Mitch here. I'm trying to like what I'm doing is a bad job, so you can show me how to do a better job.
Well, if Mitch wants to meta communicate and
right.
learn more
what
about
was your favorite
how his
part?
Partner,
yeah.
his wife wants to. Have romantic interaction or appreciates the
right.
good communication, he probably doesn't need to be talking about his sweaty palms. In fact, don't sweaty palms are out. When it comes to
yeah.
meta communication,
okay.
they're out.
But it's more like, yeah, what did you like?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you like? That's the positive stuff.
Yeah.
The hard stuff is, why did that get so intense? Do you think that last night was so hard because we're just both really tired? What's going on in our orbit around this home and our family that is making our decision-making right now so full of clashing and not full of mashing or meeting up in
maybe
the same
not
places?
It's so
maybe
funny. And I think that when you're in the middle of that orbit, you don't really think of anything as a decision. You just said decision making, and I think that's interesting because when you're in a family
mm-hmm.
and you're raising kids and you're both working, and I think that's a huge percentage of people who are listening to this podcast, you just do. You don't feel like you're deciding. You feel like you're doing, and you just said decisions.
Well, yeah. Every day that you get up with the kids, you have hundreds of decisions to make, and this goes back to other podcasts we've done on secret contracts. Like by making a decision, you two are in theory on the same page. When you just go and do it, and one of you is performing one task and the other is performing another, and no one's talked about why, you still made a decision to do the task. You just never had agreement as to why you were doing it. And that's why meta communicating, going back, this was a hard decision for us. What's really there? And the person may say, I'm stressed, or they may say, well, actually, I'm tired of doing the dishes every night and everybody's sitting on the couch and it's just, it's on my last nerve. I could use a little help here. So it's getting beyond and behind why we're having conflict in the conflict situations. And it's getting beyond and behind why things have been so good this week on the weeks and the days when you're really gelling.
So it works because in our marriage, meta communicating, because I have a golden retriever of a husband who is, he is happiest when I'm happy. And so if the day after, if we can have a conversation, he will totally lean into it. I will say I have witnessed enough, and I before, you know, I dated some real winners before him.
I'm going to say it again. I am so grateful for all those guys because that's what you call catching a dime on a rebound. Like that's what, and I'm all good with this.
No, but what I'm saying, I
like
know.
The market comparison made you look really good.
I bought distressed property.
So high.
Okay. So I know, and I just am witness to enough friends' relationships that I know that there are going to be, I'm just, again, gender stereotype, there's going to be some husbands, some partners that are not going to, that are going to roll their eyes when I, you know, when their spouse brings up, I would like to talk about how that went down in a ball of flames last night, and I'd like to talk about that. Like, yeah, we resolved it in theory, but I would like to talk about how we talked about it. So how do you convince a partner to be open to that? Like, what are the words you say?
Well, don't go for the frying pan, right? You're not going to whack him or her over the head. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Like, what the bleep just happened?
Right, that's probably going to be an invitation back to another fight. You know, you caused this, you did this last night. Blaming, shaming, you know, maiming one another is not the way to do it. Saying to someone how stupid it was that they even brought that up is not the way to meta-communicate. It's more a pattern of what not to do, I would say, than what to do, because every couple's individual. For the record, men and women are different, right? And if you have a traditional male-female marriage, you're going to notice this pretty quickly in the course of your marriage. We are just different. And some of those things become gender roles that we play, some of which are cultured, and that's a whole nother debate in our larger society. And some of them might be, you know, just in our inherent DNA when we're born as male or female. But men and women do come to things differently. And one of the things that I think that's nurtured and that's cultured is that, you know, this is a different podcast, but little boys aren't often encouraged to talk about their feelings. And so when that wife in your scenario says to that husband, I really want to talk about what went wrong last night and how it made us feel, that immediately feels vulnerable to that partner, to that husband. So in your scenario, Kim, I think if, you know, you are the wife in that scenario and you know your partner, your husband is going to have a really hard time talking about feelings or why the conflicts keep happening, go ahead and lead with that. I know this is going to be hard for you, but I think it'll be good for us. And if you'll just bear with me for a little while, we might have a chance not to have so many bad fights like last night because neither one of us were having fun.
Okay.
And so, and that's like inviting both sides to be a little vulnerable when neither of them agreed to be at that point.
That's right.
The night before.
Well, you get into fights because you're tired and something decision has to be made, and you just get blindsided by something that you never saw coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't have time for this. How dare you bring this up? But you've always done that before. Why are you changing the rules on me? And I'll say that if you're in that place where you're in a big conflict, once you start standing up and shouting, you're pushing each other away. Yeah. You're never going to resolve a conflict by shouting. Always sit down, collapse the space, get close to one another, and then you might reach a resolution. And then if you don't, talk about it the next day or the next day or two as to why you didn't.
So I have a question, and that all sounds great. I will occasionally, when I see this coming and I know this could lead to a conversation the next day, I don't love the conversations the next day. I have them because I love my wife and I can't stand. The worst thing in my life.
You don't want to keep fighting.
Right.
You don't want to
stop. So during the fight, I do something called pulling the ripcord.
Yeah, this is, we need to work on this.
Oh, say more about this.
Yes, this is
This is new. And all the times we talked, I've never heard of pulling the ripcord.
And this is not a, you know what, fine, I'm getting out of here. It's Like, we're in the middle of, like, a heat. You know what? You're right. I'm super sorry. Can we just... I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
His default setting, he wants to make everybody happy. If he could find a way to crack a joke and to make me laugh and to make it all end, he would. He would rather, and this is, I don't know how this falls within, like, you know, marriages, but he would rather be wrong. He doesn't matter.
Then have to talk about it tomorrow morning.
Then have to talk about it tomorrow morning.
I would rather be wrong and move on.
And I'm like, no. You may not be wrong. Can we talk about this? And he's like, no, you're right. I don't. And God forbid, if I start crying, it's over. He dissolves into a puddle. He's like, you're right. I'm sorry.
Susan/Kim hit your easy button. Okay.
Yes.
Penn, you are really uncomfortable right now. Why are you so uncomfortable talking about this?
No, you're right. You're right. I'm uncomfortable. I'm sorry. Everything's wrong. Can we just stop and I'll be wrong?
Penn/Mitch, please give me an, like, you seem really uncomfortable and I just need to know why and then I'll leave you alone.
How long is this going to take?
Until you answer my question.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable because I think that I'm right, but I would rather be wrong and move on with life. And this is not the hill that I want to die on. I have very few hills that I want to die on.
Yeah, he's like, it doesn't mean enough to me to be...
to be in a fight with you.
To be in a fight with you.
Right. Well, in that case, Kim, if he's pulled the ripcord and he's... That's called deflecting, by the way. I'm just going to deflect it back.
Don't you think the ripcord's a better metaphor?
It's much better.
Okay.
It's much more interesting, okay. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But once he's pulled the ripcord and he's deflected, that's your chance right then to say, fine, then I'm going to make the decision or...
But I know he's not 100%.
Then you just add...
That's a good point.
Well, when you're sick... of deflecting it back to me, we're sick of pulling the ripcord, and you actually want to talk about it. And I'm here because I don't think you're as fine as you look. But I love you, and I'll give you your space right now.
And by the way, there are some times that I genuinely, in the middle of a fight, I'm like, "Oh crap, I'm wrong," and I just say, "I'm wrong." Like in the middle of a fight,
that's a valid thing. Like sometimes you realize you're wrong, and you just that's it.
No, you have carrot on your. He had carrot juice, and now his top lip is orange. Sorry, I'm trying to wipe it off. Okay. Love you.
You not only tried to wipe it off, I want the listeners to know you did wipe it off. You thumbed that thing.
I know.
Right
I
off
licked
his
my
lip.
Thumb.
Mom spit.
I know. I licked my thumb and then wiped it all over his top lip.
The only two people I'll allow to do that are my wife and Max.
Come here, Penn.
Thank you. And by the way, Max was talking. I'm sorry. Like, you had a thought.
No, I just sometimes it is that simple. Maybe you're not pulling the ripcord because you don't want to be in the argument. You're just like, oh my God, you just made sense. I am wrong.
That's different.
I do that, but I also, when she starts crying, I...
Yeah.
Stop crying, by the way.
I don't do it often. I'm not a cry... I don't cry often, but when I do, it's a doozy. And...
Are you like? Do you get psyched when you start crying? Because you're like, I'm about to get what I want.
No.
That was so bad.
It's a podcast.
Give her a hug.
It's a podcast. Oh, I can say anything I want. It's a podcast.
Give her a hug.
No, the laws of podcast apply. We cannot get in a fight after a podcast.
That's a good law, actually.
Can we not?
We haven't.
Not yet. Honestly, I have to say, the reason I love the podcasting format so much
is because
we actually do have a conversation and talk, and it has made me realize that so much of our marriage is like, and we're in the carpool stage of marriage,
carpool.
I think is what you call it. And literally it's, okay, you got to get her at 4:45 and you got to get him at 5 and then at 5:15 he's got to go here. And it is literally, it's air traffic control type of mode we're
in. It's the Colleen Edmonston stage, which she is in a perpetual state of.
That's Christopher's wife.
I mean, well, it is my wife, and this is a stage that my wife and I talk about when we do family things more than marriage things. But carpool is that time of life where you have kids that can't drive. It's most intense when you have two working parents like we do in my family. And this is no joke. Today is Friday. My children, between now and Sunday night when they go to bed, the three of them collectively have, we count on last night, 13 activities. Ugh. And one of them can drive now, which has changed everything. Yeah, the car insurance triples. But it does change everything. It's interesting. It's like making an investment back in our couple time. But it's crazy. And what happens in those couples is you sometimes don't have time to talk.
Yeah.
You don't, which is why making sure that you use your time to, when you communicate as efficiently and wisely as you can, which is why meta communication, if your couples are capable of it, is so important. It helps to focus that time when you do have it.
Can we go back to me and my ripcord?
Sure.
And so it sounded like we have two ripcords. There's one where I realize that I'm wrong and I just shut the argument down. And there's one where
let's call that the life raft.
Yes.
Great.
Better.
Great. The life raft, okay? So that's throwing a life raft out. The second one, which is the ripcord, is when I just don't want to fight anymore. I love my wife too much. It's not the hill I want to die on. I will capitulate even though I still believe in what I did.
See, if we were in marriage care, I would say change your language when that happens. Instead of saying, you're right, Kim, you're right, which to her is always going to feel like deflection, just say, Kim, I'm really uncomfortable. Just say what you're feeling. I'm really uncomfortable. I can't continue this right now. And that way she's not hearing that she's right when she thinks she's wrong, because that creates an integrity, you know, like an integrity collision in the mind or heart of the person who's like, I might really be wrong here. I don't want to be told I'm right. I want to find out how to be a better wife, a better friend, a better mm-hmm. partner. So instead of saying, you're right, you're right, you're right, I just want this to go away, say, I can't do this right now. I'm really tired. I'm really scared. I just can't do it.
Really tired. So does that work?
It does if...
Because I feel like the next... Let's go through it with Mitch and Susan.
Mitch and Susan should write a book.
So I just left. I just went to the bathroom and I didn't flush the toilet. It's like, what's something that makes you really mad?
You know, I can't...
Toilet paper?
No, there are... So there are some things that we don't need.
It doesn't have to be a long list. Just like one thing. We're just doing one thing. It's hypothetical.
I think, there's a general
it like
housekeeping.
Encyclopedia mode.
I know. She was,
well,
she
starting
AI
with A.
Encyclopedia
we don't
mode.
Have time.
I would say the general housekeeping.
Okay,
the general
house
keeping
is a mess.
House
is a mess. I'm watching TV. So, you know, it's been a long day. I'm just needed to, like, I'm going to do it later on tonight. Can you just, like, lay off for a second? And then you're back with...
I hear you. We've
no,
been married
for... No, that's not what you sound like.
No. I know. We've been married for 13 years, almost 14 years, and never do you go back and pick something up.
Yes,
ever.
I do. I do it all the time.
Really?
But we're doing a fake fight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it
really?
Fake or is it real?
Sure, fake.
I would say the mountain of evidence and laundry next to the hamper says otherwise.
Well, you know what? I'm doing the best I can. It's been a long day and I'm doing the best I can.
Do you want me to jump in
yes,
here?
Yes, please.
And, so in that case, right, you know, I think when you make a request as a spouse, the moment you say it, if you've had a marriage where you are caring for each other and you know each other as well as people can know each other, mm-hmm. you probably know the moment you ask how it's going to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
So in that scenario, instead of going down the fight with a person who is home tidiness challenged anyway, who's not lived into what he said he's going to do to help that week or his part of the household duties, whatever they may be in each relationship. Instead of like attacking, just say, it hasn't gotten done. I can see you're tired. When do you think you can do it? Because it's really bothering me. And so it's invitation instead of accusation.
Good.
Invitation instead of accusation.
Right. And so I guess that's great. That's perfect. I guess the question for me is, like, if it gets really elevated, like really elevated, like there's shouting going on and the kids are looking around the corner seeing if it's okay. In the middle of that fight, like when it gets really, really up there, if you say, I'm really uncomfortable. I don't feel great about this conversation. Can we talk about it later? Does that work?
It can if that's what you've beforehand, in a sense, sort of agreed to do, if that's a successful conflict management strategy for the two of you. And I use that for you because I'm going to pull the ripcord. I'm jumping out. I'm going to deflect back. You're right. I just want it to go away. And Kim saying in y'all's relationship, that doesn't work for me. And
yeah.
So in other words, if the way that conflicts are resolved isn't working, at least some slight majority, 51% of both of you, then those conflicts aren't ever resolved. We're just kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, but going to bed early, going to bed angry doesn't work for me. That's a deal breaker. I'm just I sit there like this
the whole time.
Yeah, and I can't sleep.
Yeah. Well, but until you've tried, can we talk about this tomorrow or the day after? Maybe that's what your mind and soul need to release it to be able to rest. Because sometimes, you know, I tell people, I get that question a lot. Is it okay to go to bed mad?
Yeah.
And my answer is always yes. It is okay, because sometimes you're too tired late at night to fix the magnitude of the thing that's going on.
And that's
so just go to bed.
That's tough for me. Like, yeah. I don't love in the middle of a fight saying, good night, I love you, and her saying, I count you among my peers.
So I'm
going to
get meta on you. You know why that's tough for you? You know why?
Sure.
You hate conflict.
Right. No, I don't.
You really hate it.
I'm a Libra.
Well,
is that, I know. I think
I don't even know what that means.
I think
you just,
you're a Holderness.
I'm in Switzerland.
We literally, and we've talked about it. Like his mom is in memory care for Alzheimer's dementia, and so that means that there's like a care. There are all these care meetings, and with your dad, and your dad, the nurses are like, he's great. He makes us laugh. But we can't have a real conversation with him because anytime it gets awkward, he just cracks a joke and makes it laugh. And I looked at Penn. I was like, holy mother of God.
Shnikes.
That was great. We were in a care meeting about my family, and Kim turned it into...
Well, no, I didn't. We both looked at each other.
No, we did.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I have married my father-in-law.
Well, I've known you. I've known your father-in-law 24 or 23 years. I've known you and Penn 15 years or so. No, I met you guys the year you got married. 13 years.
13 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first time I met you was the year you got married. And there is utterly no doubt. I've never heard Penn's dad have a conflict with anyone, and that's almost impossible. Like he always has a nice thing to say, a joke to crack. He deflects
even
with humor
even when
constantly.
He's like he's not like real thrilled with you. He'll find a way to crack a joke about it, which is endearing when you're not married to him. But being married to the guy that like won't have a real conversation, I think would be exhausting. Says the woman who's married to a guy who won't have a real conversation.
Do you want to go like armchair psychologist meta here for a second?
Yes, please.
So a little girl grows up in a house full of conflict. It never like it's hard to shut off. You see it between your parents. Even as an adult, you can say they tried so hard. I admire how they tried, but there's just so much conflict all the time. Mm-hmm. And she's gonna fall in love with a guy who is going to do the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost never.
Right.
You're gonna go find someone who can just make the rain turn to sunshine. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the most attractive thing in the world to you. And if you grow up in a home where there is so little conflict, like just like, you know, they just stop talking. I can tell they're really in the nerves. What happens? What happens is whether you can even articulate it or not, deep down inside, you want to know why it is that people fight. Penn, you want to know why it is that mm-hmm. people butt heads and how do they fix it? And so you went out and found somebody who would talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to answer it that way.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly.
This is part of Christopher's thesis that 95% of communication is nonverbal. It's not what
almost
you say. It's the way you said it.
It.
So, yeah. But I will say I think I've gotten better at having meaningful conversations. I don't need to have one every day.
No.
And so she does like a glut of meaningful conversations, which is great. I just don't like as many.
Well, that's a point I wanted to know what Chris was going to say, because when you first brought up pulling the ripcord, there was a subtext that you mentioned right in the beginning where you said, this argument is not really that important.
It's
right
not the
now.
Hill I want to die on.
So, like, you don't think that, say, like, not flushing the toilet or putting it in the clothes away is important enough to argue about, I guess. That's like, you're like, I just don't want to argue about this. This is insignificant.
But it's important to me.
So that's where there might be a rub, too, where it's like, you got to acknowledge that maybe she gives
more of a care
about these things than you do. But I think that's maybe where like somebody could be a little upset, like, well, don't pull the ripcord here because there's unresolved issues.
Yes. And that's where just because it's not important to you doesn't mean it's not important to me. And I know like it does seem silly to have like laundry around the house as something that's like impacts a marriage. But over time, I'm a neat freak that does.
Did you hear that over time?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I heard it. What people who are not married, and that was one of my favorite of all the podcasts, what not to say to your single friends, but when people who are not married, I yet don't realize is like how long the scope of marriage is. And yeah, it's just putting the toilet seat down. And that's all it is. But after 5 years, 10 years of asking for something that the other person isn't doing, it's suddenly a big deal because it's not a big deal as one instance, but a couple hundred, it becomes a big deal. And that's where people just have to be really mature and say, the goal here for me is not to be right as much as it is for our marriage to be better. And I think if that's your goal, when you conflict, when you communicate, when you meta-communicate, if my goal is I'm less interested in being right in this situation than I am in having my relationship with my spouse grow, you can usually solve those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right. And a lot of the conflict that we've had has been, on both sides, has been the compilation of small things and not anything giant.
But he has never. So I am very. I have the house cleaning thing. I have like there's the money discussion, which we've talked about before. Like I think that I could go through an entire marriage to penholderness, and he would probably never start a discussion / argument.
Does that make you think that do you not like that? Do you want me to yell at you about something? Are you one of those people?
No.
I'm being serious.
No, but if there is,
I know
is
you guys are laughing. Is
No. If there is a discussion to be had about money, about goal setting, about this is bothering me that the dishes are never done, those sort of I'm the one that brings those up. So I do feel like I've taken on the nag role. And I'm trying to think that I have married a very tall golden retriever, and he just wants to like please, which is very sweet. But when it comes to like, what do you really feel, Pam?
You do want me to get in a fight with you. This is interesting.
And no, what do you really feel?
Honestly, and you've said this about me before, and I really do. I expect exactly as much as I think people can give. I don't expect perfection from anybody. You don't have to be perfect. Like it's kind of cute when you do something wrong.
Oh my god!
It's because you don't do it very often, and so it's like, oh, look at that, Kim did something wrong.
I feel like we're ganging up on Penn a little bit, let me say this to sort of close it out. What might be happening, and I'm not there when you guys argue. I definitely see you get on each other's nerves,
yeah.
But I've never seen you really like throw bombs. But Penn, when you are saying one thing, I don't want to have this argument. I don't want to have this conversation. I'm just not interested in this right now. And your body language is showing something different. Remember when you said that most communication between couples is nonverbal? It really is. And so when your words are saying one thing and your body is saying something else, what that invariably does to your spouse or partner, to Kim in this case, is it says, he's not telling me something. And that's always going to throw that person, in this case Kim, into what she just described as nag mode. I don't know if it's nag mode, but it's, you know, I need more information to know where I stand. Mm-hmm. He's saying he's fine, but he doesn't look fine.
Right.
Would it be useful if I just kind of like on the sly, like turned on the iPhone recorder next time we get in a fight and we can like break it down?
I'll invite Christopher over.
Or is that, that seems like a massive violation of trust?
It's not.
No? Because then I would know.
There's a couple here in our city, in Raleigh, who I've done work with that does that, and they do it really well.
They record their they record their fights?
When they get in an argument, they'll start recording it.
But they both know that it's being recorded.
Correct. Don't do it secretly, and you can't hold grudges about what was said when somebody is inflamed with passion.
Here's why I'm asking. You know what I'm taking away from this podcast? Am I right more than I think I'm right?
You might be, Ben.
Because I'm never, when we get into a fight, I'm never made to believe that I'm right.
I don't take sides,
and I've never
won
a fight. Like, there was one, we had one the other day that I honestly, we were talking on the phone, and I told her something, and the fact that she said I didn't say that over and over again, she was mad at me. She called me and she had an idea, and I said, honey, that's a great idea. I love that idea.
You didn't say that.
I so said it. I made it a point in my head to say it.
He made it in his head, but it didn't come out of his face.
I made it a point to have it come out of my face. She threw a hissy fit about it. Sorry about using the term hissy fit. And we got off the phone afterwards, and I Googled, can you pull up old phone calls?
I'm sure the government
on my
has
phone.
It. I'm sure the government has it.
Because I really wanted
somewhere.
To, like, I was so right. I'm very rarely right, but I was right on that one. And that's what happens.
There's no way to win this one because I know what he said and then he knows what he said. So there's that in that particular case.
In that particular case, you were wrong.
I was right.
For once, you were wrong and I had no proof and no way to win it. And the only way to win it was going to be to call the NSA. But we couldn't do that.
There, I would pay a large amount of money to have that conversation. So if anybody's listening who works for the government and maybe is furloughed and looking for some easy cash.
We can look it up because it was right before you went into a workout class. We can look up
and
the
you're
workout
like, you didn't
class.
Call me back. I was like, I was working out. No. Anyway.
Well, we do have different memories of different things.
Mm-hmm. There's the right memory and the wrong memory.
There's
joking.
My memory and there's their memory. I wouldn't say right and wrong. And part of what we have to figure out always is which narrative is going to be dominant, whose story is going to be the one that we apply, and if we can't agree on the story, can we at least work to forgive each other for the fact that we're both remembering something differently?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blaming your spouse for being who they are is a complete waste of time. Doesn't make any sense. There are certain things that never change about the people that we marry. Penn is never going to be, given who he is, I don't think at least, the greatest conflict communicator that's ever existed. He's always going to want to default to bouncing back into deflection, to pulling his ripcord or jumping in his lifeboat. And Kim, you're always going to default to, I'd rather just get out of the car right now than have my husband, you know, continue to think that he's right when I know he's wrong. Just let me out of the car. I'm going to walk. You're going to default to those things. And some of that is in who we are. And this is the great irony. We've talked about this before. More often than not, for most couples, the thing that attracts you to someone is also the same thing that frustrates you. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that lots, the three of us before. And that is very true with almost every couple that there is. Sometimes those frustrations boil over, and you have to give space for those to live and breathe. But that can't be the only thing. And that's why meta-communicating, why did you get out of the car? Like, what were you really feeling besides mad? Tell me more. Hit the easy button. You know, what did you enjoy about last night? What was your favorite part? Tell me more. Hit the easy button. Why, when we started talking about how we were going to do homework with the kids or if we were going to hire a tutor, did we end up in an argument about where we're going for Christmas? Hit the easy button.
It's a lot like the journalistic rules, like the why. Ask the why.
Always ask the why.
Yeah.
And be expected to be asked. Because if your partner is asking the why, not to remind you that you lost the argument, but instead that your conflicts in the future will be shorter, and maybe you'll not have some of them all together because you're growing. I mean, if the goal is to grow your marriage, then meta-communicating is one of the easiest tools in the toolbox.
This feels like a good, like he's like this. You know how you can tell when Chris is winding up a sermon? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like right now you're winding up a sermon. You're feeling this is a good stopping point.
I love it.
He kind of slows down a little bit and then he ends, and you better not have anything else to say. Amen. That's what just happened. Should we take some emails? You want to stay for this, Christopher? I feel like you're close enough to the family now that you can help us answer questions about our lives.
No, and these are marriage questions.
I'll do anything I can.
There's marriage questions. Yep. And this one we've talked a little bit about before, but I think it relates today. From Jen Linian. Okay.
She's great with
good with names. How do you keep your cool in front of the kids if you're fighting, or do you?
So should we answer that, and then maybe we'll let Christopher tell us whether we're right or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Kim's good about this.
We do argue in front of the kids, but there's no name calling and there's no screaming. But we do want our kids to see resolution. Again,
there's occasional screaming.
There's not. I grew up in a house where there's like constant conflict and a lot of screaming, and then one person would leave. So I think it's really. I think it's awesome to show kids, like, people who love each other stand up for what they think, and then they work through things, and then they, like, die a little inside when they have to make a compromise, but that's okay. I'm kidding. Yeah. But then they compromise.
That was really good to the die a little bit part.
And then they work it through.
And they get in a barb here and there if they need to. In the middle of a sentence.
Well, right.
So, and there, it's fine.
The one thing, too, and I would share this with every couple, this is one of those other ironies of marriage that is in relationships, but I think it's particular to marriage because marriage is such a complete sharing that's what's required. Like opposites attract, this is true as well. The longer you're married to one another, the better you are at loving each other. And simultaneously, the more efficiently you've learned how to hurt each other.
Right.
So you know how to throw the barbs.
Oh,
like, you know how to make him say, fine, and pull the ripcord and go. You know how to do it. And you know how to make her get out of the car if you're just tired of talking about it. Like, it's not impossible to believe that you're really good, if you've been married for a while, at arguing and throwing barbs in front of the kids, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, but don't do that, guys.
Don't.
No
blaming, no shaming if the kids are in the room. It's actually healthy for children to see their families working out conflict.
Okay.
It always is. And what I would say is, if you have an argument in front of the kids, no blaming, no shaming, watch your language, watch your content matter. Not all arguments between married couples are appropriate for the family, for the swagger wagon, like we have the Toyota Sienna. Not all are appropriate. And if you can go back to the kids the next day and say, you heard Dad and I having a conversation about how I'm you know, we had having an argument about how I'm tired of always having to bring home dinner every night or cook dinner every night. I want you to know that we worked it out and we're okay. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
And we shouldn't ever say, kids, mommy and daddy are fighting because you guys never clean the house. We should never blame it on them, right?
Don't blame it on them. But
we don't actually do that.
No. But sometimes, particularly with my teenage kids, my kids, again, are a good bit older than yours. You know, there are times when I will go find them and say, the fact that you were late created stress that's made today really hard. I mean, they have to know that their contributions to the family matter. But no one person in a family system that's either healthy or that wants to be healthy is ever solely to blame for why mom and dad are fighting.
Say that sentence again. It just rolls off of Christopher's tongue. Everything he says, it comes very naturally. But just that sentence, like the fact that you were late created some stress.
That made today really hard.
That made today really
hard. The reason why your choices and families, everybody's choices matter. So, you know, the high school kid that misses curfew creates stress for the couple that's up, you know, waiting up for him at night, that he gets home safe. Or the high school kid or the college kid that's experimenting with, you know, drugs or taking really risky behavior. It always has echoes in any family system. You know, the teenage girl that's struggling with depression. Those things always create stress. Life would be beautiful if we could put our marriage in like those little vials that the professors like in Harry mm-hmm. Potter carry around and we right. just carry around in our pocket and nothing ever gets inside the vial and it only opens up and is exposed when we want it to. But the truth is our marriages are exposed to all the influences in our life, work, stress, kids. They all affect our relationships.
Any more questions?
There's about 1,000 more questions.
Let's do one more.
How do you not kill each other working together daily and having such different personalities?
We get that very frequently.
A lot.
It is a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I think we've done it long enough that we know what the absolute mortal sins are when you're working together and living together that you just can't do. I think that was the first step, like learning, okay, we can't talk about business at Sunday night at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And you can't hit me on the head with business at 7:30 a.m. when I haven't had a cup of coffee. And my voice must be heard. Mm-hmm. That one took for me for some reason longer because I don't know why. I think I'm as golden retrievery as I am in our marriage. I'm a little more unrelenting when it comes to creativity and my craft. So what's crazy? There are two different people that you're dealing with. You're dealing with work pen and husband pen. And I don't know if compartmentalize is the right word, but you have to learn how to communicate on both fronts.
Mm-hmm. We probably need marriage counseling for work couple. And we probably, as well as.
We should do a whole podcast. That's our next podcast. I'm telling you right now.
Work couple.
Work couples. Can you? Because you, I'm sure, have dealt with this, right?
But I think that I don't know how relatable that
I have.
Is for the
you guys.
Work.
You guys, for work couples, though, spend even more time together. Because a lot of couples that have a family business,
yeah,
right. One of them may be working in one cubicle or mm-hmm. one office. They have different yep. offices, or somebody travels and is the salesman or saleswoman. Right. But you guys, like. You're together a lot, so even working couples.
We have different jobs, which helps. Penn works on we have like this third floor bonus room where he writes all the songs and everything, and I work downstairs. So before he quit his TV job, we worked out together. Like that was the way we spent time together, mm-hmm. was going to the gym together. Now we don't work out together. So we have found, and it wasn't.
Except for videos.
Some of those are great, by the way.
But can I acknowledge, though, that with your work roles that even Chris is saying, that your most a recent episode of the Good Vibrations, the songwriting yeah. episode, really showed how the roles you play, but still the creativity that both of you bring to the table at the end. Like, Penn doesn't just write all the songs himself.
Right.
You come up with, Kim, come up with all the content, the idea, the framework that then lets Penn go crazy yeah. to do the finished product. But if you weren't in the room, who knows if Penn would be as...
I would miss the mark most of the time.
Prolific, let's say.
Yeah, no, I'm very yeah. grateful. But it's funny, like I think in our relationship, I don't need much space. I want to be around her as much as possible. In work, I occasionally need space. Mm-hmm. I do. Like there was this the true story. I have like the third floor has become like my quiet sort of sanctuary, and I was up editing, and then Kim came upstairs, and then And then our niece came upstairs, and then it wasn't my third floor anymore.
Because you wanted us to – here's where Work Kim wants to pull her hair out. He goes, can you order the costume? He wrote this really funny song. And he's like, we need like 10 different costumes for the kids for it. He's like, can you order these? I'm like, well, I need to know what the song is. So I was like, Bianca, she's 22. She's my niece. She just moved here. So she's working at restaurants and picking up side gigs and stuff like that. So we're like, hey, yeah, come work for us and help us organize this stuff.
Yep.
So come upstairs.
Right. But no, I said, just go on up and go through the attic. You can just look for stuff. It'll be fine. You guys came upstairs and had 13 questions about computers. Because, do you remember that?
But
you didn't know how to operate the computer.
But also, like, you got to, if you're working with people, you have to work with people.
This is great. So we're actually having a bit of a discussion here, and this is good. I'm not going to capitulate here. I'm going to say I think I just need like that to be my little sanctuary. Well,
that's fine, but what would I say about what you did wrong?
Why
there?
Did you invite them up there?
Well, you did invite them up there, and that's when you take off your headphones when you're editing or whatever you were doing,
right?
And you say, guys, I really need to focus.
I should have said
please
something.
Keep it down.
Yeah,
exactly.
But instead, I'm talking about it in front of everybody.
And this is what, a month later?
This is last week.
Like 3 days.
And he also has, and this is where, this is, we're just going to get into it.
Oh, yeah, this is going to turn into something about me now.
No, he wrote this song, and it's an original song. I wasn't part of the process, which is totally fine. But he has a very grand vision as a director and a creative of what it should look like. So when he says we need a wig for the kids, I'm like, is it a curly hair short wig are you picturing? Are you picturing like a
hair
mullet?
Metal, yeah.
Like what do you like? I need to have a conversation with you as a director, because if I order a 1960s like bouffant wig, but you were picturing a 70s rocker mullet wig,
right.
I need to know. So this requires 14 seconds of conversation.
Right. And in my head, it was like, okay, Kim has told me in the new year that she would like me to defer some of my abilities and duties to other people. And so that was what I was trying to do.
Great. You didn't do it well.
Thank you.
Because, right, what happens is this is my sanctuary. I'm going to edit. And then you asked her for an assignment. And then the assignment to help in as the director of the video, like, I'm supposed to ask you for help, Kim. So she comes up to help. That's the working assignment, right? And she gets to the attic, and she's all in your space at an inconvenient time. That's when you've got to say, I'm not trying to be a colossal butt here, but I really need to focus. Can you do this in half an hour? And just because what you thought was she'll read my mind and my body language, and she thought, I'm doing exactly what he asked me. He has no reason to be annoyed with me right now.
Or if I ordered the wrong wig and wrong costume, if at that point then it's when we're shooting the video, if it's not his vision, he needs to suck it up.
Yeah, so and I would have it in that situation.
Would you?
Because you were trying to tell me, like, listen, honey, you wanted me to delegate some of my responsibilities. That's what I did. You wanted me specifically to delegate some responsibilities to your niece. That's what I did. And then you guys ended up in the attic, and I ended up looking everything up anyway. Like, I'm trying to do what you ordered me to do on January the 1st of this year.
So guess what you're doing right now? You're actually meta-communicating. I don't know if you're doing it efficiently.
No,
we're
not.
Back to the tape.
Yeah.
No, but you are actually doing it. Like, what went wrong? I know I asked for help, but that's not the time that I really wanted to help. But if I don't give you some options, Penn, and you don't tell me exactly what you want, then it's going to be ruined and we're going to have a bigger problem.
Yeah, and that's where I come from, which is if we had ordered the thing that's not aligned with your vision, then I think on shoot day, there's going to be a lot of eye rolling, and there's going to be some like.
You're assuming a lot.
Well, but
don't go all the way to shoot day. Just go back to 3 or 4 days ago, and you know, Penn, the costumes are up here. Is this a good time for me to look for them? No, Kim, it's not a good time. Or once she started, Kim, can this wait half an hour? I really need to focus on editing.
But,
just some clear signals to each other would avoid some
and,
of that.
And true story, I wanted to do all these things myself. I have been ordered not to do all of these things anymore and to give somebody else the ability to do them. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Good.
But I think it also requires, like, when you're getting somebody up to speed, it requires a bit of like onboarding, which is you need to know how we work.
Training.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a larger conversation of like patience with training somebody how to do that.
My big sort of tip for those couples that work together out there, because obviously you got an email, is if you are having some sort of conflict or disagreement, determine right away if it's a couple thing or a work thing. Don't let your disagreements blend into the two.
Yeah,
Don't.
This is definitely a work thing.
So, right.
Yeah.
So that's the number one thing. Are we talking about us or are we talking about the office? Because we're talking about the office. right? I'm going to have to bring different things to this conversation, and both people should feel that way.
And I don't think we're as good at the work side as we are at the personal side. We still need help with that. Like right now, I could tell that Kim is like getting legitimately angry about this story, and I'm going to have to like let it go. She's like leaving to go out of town in an hour, and I'm probably going to end up saying I'm sorry for some reason. I'm not sure. But I'm going to end up apologizing for this.
We're gonna call Christopher. Yeah. And we're gonna.
No, you're gonna look at the two of you. Like the two of you. Yeah, let's just do this. Let's do this right now. Love in your eyes. Yep.
This is good. We're actually getting into an argument.
And say
podcast.
The costume searching. The costume searching scenario. You're gonna say it together. The costume searching scenario. We'll take it up later. Yeah, we'll take it up later.
We'll take it up later.
You're not gonna solve it in the few remaining moments we have here.
No, we got all the time in the world.
Or before she travels.
Yeah, that's true. No, I did. Like, this was just like a little thing, though. Like, I kind of wanted some space. And then it kind of went.
Did you kind of ask for space in the moment?
No.
That's the problem.
Right.
Wait. Did we just solve that? Or am I still angry? Well, no. Or vice versa. Like, the way you can head it off in your side of that is by simply saying, is this a good time? Like, you know. Asking permission is always a nice thing, even when you're married to somebody. It's nice. Is this a good time to talk about this? When is a good time?
I'm actually glad we talked about it because in my head, it just happened. Like I went upstairs and they came up, and now I'm remembering I totally did say like, come up and like look through the attic. So
you actually invited us to go through the attic to find costumes, which is like
I just didn't think it was going to take that long. I didn't say anything out loud. I just in my head I was like, hey, come on up. God, what are you doing here?
I was like, you invited us, so sorry.
Have you learned something from this,
which is what?
That the third floor is a place where I like to escape sometimes to get work done. And so when that part of the search is over, I don't want to be rude and say, hey, do you guys need a minute? Or can I have like a minute?
We left after like 42 seconds, by the way.
No.
Okay. Let's not. We're going to talk about this later.
At least an hour you were up there. But,
okay. We'll talk about this later.
Okay.
We have an attic. When we've talked about this before in the podcast, that needs to be cleaned out. And if we cleaned out the attic, then it would be easy.
Oh, you're
to
not
find
staying
costumes.
In Cleveland right now, honey.
I am not.
You just left Cleveland.
Okay. You're jumping all over the place. Okay.
So to answer your question, emailer, that's how we get that's along.
That's how you
work.
Do it. Solved. Problem
You're
solved.
You're welcome. It's problem perfect. Solved. We never have problems. I love it.
They're probably thrilled. They're like, okay, good. They do hate each other sometimes. All right, guys.
All right. If you made it to this point in the podcast, I would love to see a screenshot. And I would love it if you tagged us on Instagram, @ the Holderness Family. Share it. I love to make comments and make comments. No, I just respond to comments.
I love to give people.
I would love to give them the business. And then we also have a Facebook group. It's like a secret podcast Facebook group. Shh, don't tell anybody. But you can just it's the Holderness Family Podcast, and you can click to join. And there's like really fun discussions on there, and everybody's really sweet, and it's just like my favorite ever. So so join us there. It's a secret. So thank you for joining us, Christopher.
It was great to be here, as always.
Oh, yeah, I think he has to say that. Thanks, Penn. I love you.
Love you too, baby.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.